The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us today. We are starting a new week of our journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. That is our 14th week. Unfortunately, last week, I was not able to present the last episode, and I'm sorry for that. And maybe some of you were waiting the live broadcast, but unfortunately, I couldn't make it. But here we are. We had to rearrange our schedule to adjust the message or the verses that I was supposed to read for this week. But I pray that this week I'll be able to present to you the 5 live broadcasts where we are studying the Sermon of the Plain this week and finalizing this Sermon of the Plain. Well, as you know, this community, the Rescue Worker community, is a community of Jesus' apprentices. And here, we have a motto that we live for. We try to put that as our goal. And the motto for Jesus' apprentices on the Rescue Worker community is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. The way for us to become truly disciples of Jesus, truly apprentices of Jesus, is following the way of love, loving God, our neighbor, and ourselves. Since we're starting a new week, that means we have a new Bible verse to memorize. And the Bible verse for memorization for this week comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Well, here we see something very important that we will study one of the days, right? We will spend one broadcast just for this verse. But the main point is God is more concerned with your heart than your behavior, because it's from your heart that flows your behavior. You can tweak or learn how to behave properly, but that doesn't mean that your heart is on the right place. So if we fix our heart, if we go through this process of transformation, following that, our behavior will follow. And that is where God is aiming. And I think what we'll be studying today will help us to understand more about the direction that God wants us to take. Well, for us to go through this process of transformation, to be shaped according to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, we need the Holy Spirit. We need God's intervention. That's the only way. For this reason, we need to come before God every single day. And as we approach God, we know that He's accessible to us. In Hebrews 4:16, we read, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." We have the assurance that God is waiting for us. And because His love and His kingdom is a kingdom of love, grace and mercy are waiting for us. So let's come and approach God. So let's come right now and approach God in prayer. Let's seek His direction. Let's seek for His transforming power so we can be shaped according to the image of Jesus Christ. So I want to give you 1 minute for you to take this moment to connect with God and ask His guidance as we reflect the lessons of verse 41 and 42 of Luke chapter 6. And then after that, we'll come for a short prayer and then the reflection of those verses. So take this time to be in God's presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to get together as a community of Jesus apprentices. We want to be more like you. So transform our hearts, Lord. Transform our thoughts and feelings. Transform our behavior. Be with us, Lord. Give us the Holy Spirit so we may understand your message for us today. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This week, we are studying this sermon or finalizing our study on the Sermon of the Plain, what is equivalent to the Sermon of the Mountain from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. More than amazing and revolutionary teachings, the Sermon of the Mountain is a description of who God is and what His kingdom is all about. The Sermon of the Mountain presents how the citizens of the kingdom, how Jesus' apprentices, how those that are submitting themselves to be conformed to the image and likeness of God should behave, should act, should feel. We know that an important Bible verse is presented to us, and I have referred to that many times. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And we have studied that because God is merciful, we must be merciful. Because we are created according to His image, because we are following Jesus Christ, mercy and grace must be the way of living. And on this mercy and way of living, we realize that Jesus presents maybe the most true difficult aspect for human beings to present, to offer love, to present mercy, and is on the situations that we have people that are our enemies, those that are different from us, behaving differently from us, not thinking like us, or those that are opposed to us. And here in the Gospel of Luke and in this sermon, to those that are opposed to us, we have 4 descriptions, 4 qualities, let's say, or attributes. The first one, they hate us, they exclude us, they curse us, and they mock us. So those that are behaving that way toward us, we must do what? Offer mercy, loving them. This love is not based on feelings, but a principle of dignity, respect, offer consideration to that person, being merciful because they were created according to God's image and likeness, and because they are loved by God. So mercy will lead us to love those that are enemies. And mercy will lead us not to judge people, because we will be merciful towards the actions and towards the faults of people. And as we use mercy towards people's fault, we will not label them based on their fault. Oh, you didn't say the truth here, therefore you're a liar. I made a judgment, I condemned them to be a liar, therefore I don't believe what you say, and whatever you say is a lie because you're a liar. Because I'm merciful and I'll be merciful towards the actions and the behavior of people, I will not consider or label them based on their action. Therefore, I will not put them in a cage or treat them based on that action. I'll forgive them, release them from the actions or the label that the actions may lead us, and will give mercy. So mercy, it is about treating with care the faults of other people. And every time we don't do that, we are not looking like God. I tried last week to make clear that not judging is not saying that I will agree or not rebuke the wrong actions of people. Otherwise, because I'm merciful, I'll try to help people to grow in a kind and merciful way. For instance, since I'm using the lie as example, I'll approach that person not pointing fingers, but with mercy. And by the way, when we point one finger to one person, we have at least fingers pointing to us. So I'll not come today, your lie or punishing or making judgments, will come to them in a merciful way and saying, I think you have missed the point here and used what is not truth as part of your saying, of your words. What happened for you to lack truth on your speech? What can I help you? Do you need someone to support and pray for you? Were you insecure? What's happening? You see, the approach to the people's fault will be different. So as I have mercy as a way of life, I will love those that oppose me, and I will not judge, I'll not label people, and I'll not condemn people to live based on that label. And Jesus now, he's trying to illustrate how that judgment or a lack of mercy plays around. And now we come to verse 41 and 42. And they are very interesting verses. There are many interpretations or ways of understanding these verses. And as I said to you, yes, there are many ways that we can apply them. I'll maybe present a few ideas to you. But let's go and turn and read verses 41 and 42 of Luke chapter 6. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eyes when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help get rid of that speck in your eyes when you cannot see past the log in your own eyes. Hypocrite. First, get right off the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in our friend's eye. Well, what we have here is another way of Jesus promoting or illustrating the need of mercy and mercy towards people's fault. What we have here is kind of some kind of satire, right? Jesus using of humor to illustrate an idea. We have a lot of humor in Jesus' teachings. I know some people consider humor or smiles or jokes, let's say, something that is irrelevant, that doesn't belong to God's business or anything like that, right? But it's interesting that Jesus used that. And some of the Christians that they believe that smile or satire or humor is even a sin, when they have descriptions or portraits of people of the Bible, illustrations, images, they even portray them without a smile, even not showing the teeth, because that would be a sin. But what I can tell you that Jesus used humor on his teachings and his ministry. What we see here as well is hyperbole, right? When a rabbi exaggerates something, that was a technique, a methodology of teaching. And Jesus is using here to illustrate the lack of mercy. So Jesus is saying to us, we need to be merciful towards people. And when we are merciful towards people, we do not judge them. We do not label them. However, if I'm not merciful, it's like having a log, a 4x4 in front of your eyes. Let me ask you, can you see properly without, or can you see properly with a log, a 4x4 in front of your eyes? No. So whatever you see on the other person is not the proper image or description or reality, because there is a log, a 4x4 in front of you. And I will not only see the other person not properly, but I will not see myself properly with a log in my eyes. And that is somehow a negative way, but if I go to a positive way, Jesus is saying the only way to see people properly, the only way to have a proper vision is through mercy. Without mercy, we cannot see ourselves properly and other people's in a proper way. However, when I don't use mercy, I have a log in my eyes. And because I have a log in my eyes, when I don't use mercy, whatever I see, do, will be wrong. And the worst part is, you not see yourself. You not see your mistakes. You not see your problems. You not see the reality that you need mercy because you have a log in your eyes. And without mercy, you'll be concerned about a spike in someone's eyes. So Jesus is saying, without mercy, you cannot see properly. Without mercy, you cannot behave according to God's will. Without mercy, you don't have a proper relationship with someone. It's only through mercy. It's only through mercy. And just this thought brings to my mind one Bible verse of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And let me take you there, because somehow I think we can see maybe the same message here and even a clarity as we behave with other people. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul is writing, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin," so that person made a mistake, he broke God's law, right? How should we behave? Can we judge then? How that plays? Remember, judging is not saying what you did is wrong, but it's not putting a label in someone and putting that person in a prison based on that label. So Paul is trying to explain in a different way, in a practical way, what you do. So if a believer, he do something wrong, he sin, you who are godly, wow. So those that are godly, those that are led by the Holy Spirit, what they should do? You who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. So I'm not coming here to judge that person, to label that person, to exclude that person. I'm coming towards that person in a humbly and kindly way, to help that person, to support, to provide the means for that person to go back to the right path. You see how Paul is describing here? And then he says, he finishes, "And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Hey, be careful, because you can fall. So be gentle, be kind. You need mercy. So mercy is the way of God. I need to read. "You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate." That's the way God expects you to treat other people and lead with other people's fault. Being merciful. And every time I don't embrace mercy as a way of life, I'm having a log in my eyes. In other words, I'm being blind. And that connects with the previous illustration or the first parable that Jesus mentioned, right, in this sermon, right? Two blinds, one blind and leading another blind. You cannot see properly without mercy. And those that don't show mercy to other people's fault and are judging them, therefore having a log on their eyes, how God calls them. And I tell you, that's a hard word for me to say in English. Hypocrite, right? A hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Usually we refer to that a person that doesn't live according to what they say, or to a higher and better model of life, when there is this friction between the reality, the ideal, right? We like to use this word hypocrite, right? Hypocrite, right? We love to use that word. And we use it as an adjective, as the worst person ever, right? Even in the religious life. Oh, you're moralist, you're legalist, and all that. So we use that. But in the biblical times, this word had a different meaning, or at least two different meanings. And I call your attention on those two words, how these words were used at the time of Jesus. So I can understand better what happened at the time of Jesus, and now I can understand how to apply better. And what I'm trying to do, and trying to enhance or reinforce you every single time, that a proper way of understanding the Bible is not just taking literally the words of the Bible that was written 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and bring in a different culture, in a different environment, in a different principles of values. So take literally the words and apply today. In my humble opinion, that's not the proper way to use the Bible, because that can guide us to many things that is not God's will. So in my humble opinion, somehow we need to understand the context of the time, try to extract the principles and values, because principles and values are a temporal or are eternal. They can be applied in different things. So extract the principles and values and now come here and say how these principles and values can be applied today. So as we start study this word, hypocrite, right? What that meant in Jesus' time. So there was two main uses of this word. The first one was used in the Greek and Roman theaters. The actor, the person playing a role, was called a hypocrite. Someone that is acting something that she's not. So he's being an actor, playing a role. So Jesus is saying, for those that have a log in your eyes, for those that are not using mercy as dealing with people's fault and are judging them, condemning them, and not offering forgiveness to them, you are an actor. And in what sense? Remember to whom Jesus is speaking. Jesus is speaking to a multitude that basically was a multitude of people that were Jewish and many Jewish leaders and teachers, scribes, Pharisees, and many groups of the Bible. So on their understanding, they were sons and daughters of Abraham, sons and daughters of God. They were the right one. They had a perfect connection with God. And everybody else that didn't live according to their moral life or their moral laws were not good enough. But they were good enough. And God is saying, you're an actor. You think you're aligned with me, but you're not. You're not aligned with me because you're not using the mercy. You see how Jesus used this word, the hypocrite, here? Hypocrite? How he's using? He's using for those that lack mercy. So to whom should I use this word? For those that lack mercy. For those that are judging people, they have a log on their eyes because they don't have mercy. You think you're doing something, but you're playing. You're not truly a son of God, because the son and daughter of God is that one. You must be compassionate just as your father is compassionate. So you're playing that you're following God. You're playing that you're obedient to God. That's just, you're an actor, actresses, right? That's it. So that is one of the ways they use this word. The second way, and comes from even the understanding of the Septuaginta, or the translation of the 70s, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, right? Made a couple of hundred years before the birth of Jesus. And that is the Bible that the disciples and Jesus refer to, right? The Greek version of the Bible. According to the translation, the Septuaginta, and how they use this word in the Hebrew Bible, gives the idea that a hypocrite is someone that is not living according to God's will. Someone that is not obeying God. Someone that is not living in alignment with the principles and values of the kingdom. So, Jesus is saying here, yes, you keep all the laws, and according to the Jewish tradition, they have 613 laws on the Torah, on the five books of the Bible. Yeah, you're trying to keep those 613. And you have created laws to protect you of breaking those 613 laws. So we have more than 1,000 laws protecting those laws. And you think that you're doing God's will, that you're aligned with Him, that you're being obedient with to Him. But the reality is, if you're not being merciful, you're not being obedient to God. You're not being in alignment with God. You are not on the right path. Do you see how powerful is here, this understanding? So no matter how many laws you keep, if you don't reflect God and His mercy, you're not aligned with God's will. I know some traditions or religious traditions, we try to focus in specific aspects of our religious tradition or understanding of the Bible. For instance, as in a Seventh-day Adventist, one of the main pillars of our denomination is based the observance of the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath day, and we refer as Saturday, right? Being the Sabbath day. And we say, hey, we are obedient to God because we keep the right day, right? The Sabbath day on the seventh day. We claim this. And yeah, if you turn to any preacher or majority of the preachers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they will say that. If you turn to the writings, right, of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, it's clear, right? We are obedient to God because we keep the Sabbath day. But it's very interesting that Jesus is not highlighting the Sabbath day as the key point here. Any other aspect, right? And I could point out from each denomination what sometimes they highlight. What Jesus is highlighting here is a sign of alignment and being obedient to God is being merciful. Do you want to be aligned with God? Obedient to God? Be merciful. I'm not saying the Sabbath and the other beliefs of other denominations, they are not important. But pay attention to what Jesus is highlighting here. Being merciful. When you're not being merciful, you are not in alignment with God's will. Therefore, first, get rid of the log in your own eyes. A. Embrace mercy. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. When you start looking and using mercy as the way of see, understand, evaluating the world, then you see people properly. And then, in a proper way, you'll be able to help someone with their spike on their eyes. It's about mercy. What I can tell you more, at least for me, is so clear. And why the majority of the Christian communities or relationships are not based on mercy. Why we are so fast to judge, label, and condemn people to a prison based on that label. Why? I don't know. But what I know is this way, this system, is not God's way. That's not the kingdom system. Because this kingdom system says, you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, your care, and your love. Help us to be more like you. Help us to use the lens of mercy as a way of seeing people, as a way of dealing with people's fault, understanding that we are the ones that need the mercy the most. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus Christ. Be aligned with Him, not being actors or playing to be Christians, but not being Christians because you are not presenting mercy. Forgive our sins and stay with us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's go for the questions for reflection, and here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you abundantly. May God be with you. Tomorrow we'll continue our journey of this description, understanding of God and what is expected from us on the Sermon of the Plain. We'll somehow be in a transition towards obedience. And I pray that you'll be with us. And I pray that you adopt mercy as a way of living. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.